Welcome to the Green Screen of Death. My name is Adrian.
And my name is Bill.
So we're back. Man, it's been a month, dude.
People got really angry at me.
Is that right?
I got a lot of texts and tweets from people like, dude, I really want to hear you destroy Ghostbusters.
Oh, no way, really?
Or Suicide Squad or whatever the big movie of the week was. And mostly the reason we didn't record is because I'm an asshole. But at the same time, we made up after that. And then I just got really busy.
Yeah. Dude, it's been busy.
Something to do every goddamn weekend, it seemed.
Yeah.
Like, and didn't you have like an anniversary?
And I had anniversary weekend. I was away and family stuff. And it was a busy month anyway.
And you went to some big concert, too.
Oh, yeah. What's it called?
Rock the Shores.
Rock the Shores. Yeah, that was pretty awesome. So, yeah, that was a full 3-day event. And I was dead by the end because it was so hot. So.
And plus, it seemed like every weekend there was 5 movies opening.
Oh, totally.
And I'm just like, okay, well, if I only see 4 of them, there's my entire day.
Exactly.
And I only have 2 days off. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
the quality hasn't always been there for the movies.
No. So I'm sure you saw a couple that I didn't see just because of...
Maybe.
Maybe because they were horror films.
Maybe.
I know there was one you saw that I didn't see.
Okay. Yeah. You'll have to remind me on the movie, or the lightning round, because... Yeah, I think I forgot to write that one down.
Was it Lights Out?
Lights Out. Oh, no, I did write that down.
All right, nice.
Okay. Yeah.
And plus, the weather's been sweet.
Yeah.
Just always shit to do, man.
Oh, totally.
That beer is not going to get drunk by anybody else but me, so.
Yeah. I got to go catch some Pokemon down at Clover Point.
And in case you're curious, this is episode number 54.
54?
Brian Urlacher.
Brian Urlacher, there you go.
Chicago Bears.
Oh, dude.
Linebacker.
Yeah, man.
He was a beast.
He was an animal.
Man, he beat the shit out of my quarterback.
He did.
Yeah.
He beat up everybody.
Yeah.
I think he spat in the face of one of the Cowboys. I can't remember which one.
He was just a mean dude.
He was. Yeah.
But, you know, mad respect to Brian Urlacher. He was a badass player, man.
Yeah. One of the best.
But fuck the Bears and go Green Bay. Right. We're weeks away from the opening of the NFL season, and you're all like fucking fantasy mode.
Oh, dude. Yeah, like fantasy football, like when you're hardcore like me, it never ends. Like, seriously, I read articles, listen to podcasts every single week, and read off-season news and trades, and it's crazy. If you ever want to talk fantasy football, come to me, man, because I like my knowledge has gone up so much since last year because I just absorb so much stuff.
So when you're out of playoff contention, this podcast is gonna suck.
Oh, totally.
You're like down the dumps.
That's right. That's right.
But the real footy started last weekend.
That's right. Yeah.
So
got off to a good start, didn't we?
Your team has no D, man.
Oh, man. Well, that's been a problem for a few years now.
Meanwhile, my team looks great.
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you like that free transfer of the third best player in the world? Thank you very much.
He is ridiculous, dude. Like,
Zlatan Ibrahimovic just destroys people.
Yeah.
He's like a foot taller than them, out jumps them, and gets goals.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
His athleticism is just unfair.
Yeah.
Like with his height and strength, he should not be as fast as he is.
No.
He should not be able to hit the ball as hard as he does.
Yeah. It's going to be a really fun year.
He's a complete package. Yeah, that guy.
It's going to be a fun year.
Yeah.
You're going to have a lot of 5-4 games, I think.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Nathaniel Klein is the only defender I'm really comfortable with. And he's more of an offensive threat the way they're using him. Like, they play him up on the wing and he's fast. But he made a really bad mistake against Burnley.
2-0, eh?
Yeah.
That was bad.
Yeah. But hey,
whatever. It's early, man.
That's right. Yeah. So
you've been watching the Olympics?
Just the popular events.
So Usain Bolt, Michael Phelps.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, pretty much. Me too.
Degrassi, however you say it. Yeah.
That's a TV show.
That's right. The fast Canadian runner guy.
Mr. Robot?
I'm two episodes behind.
I'm one episode behind.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the one that, there was something really emotional that happened the last episode I watched. It was like crazy. Remember, all I'll say is that the scene ended with the cop lady. She was doing something.
Yeah.
And something major happened. And I was just like, holy shit. And I was like crying while I was watching the show. I was just like, Yeah, it's a great show, man.
Anybody who says that show has dropped in quality, you don't know what you're talking about.
They're wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's stupid.
The third episode was a little iffy.
Yeah.
But the rest of them have been good.
Yeah.
Bordering on excellent.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
How about Craig Robinson?
Yeah.
Man.
I told you not to look there. Whoa, Craig Robinson.
Shit. And him, like, talking to himself.
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
So good. Yeah.
I love it.
Did you buy the New World Criterion Blu-ray?
Not yet.
Holy shit, that is some good stuff.
Oh, really?
Oh, that's some good stuff.
Sweet.
Criterion's is killing it. Punch Drunk Love, man.
Oh, yeah.
Probably my holy grail Blu-ray.
Nice.
The one PTA film, other than Heart 8, which I don't even know who owns that film anymore.
Yeah.
Punch Drunk Love is amazing.
Yeah.
I love that film.
Yeah.
Criterion, October.
Sweet.
Yeah. And our friends at the Movie Bear Podcast did an episode of the best film since 2000.
Oh, that was awesome.
They had a list.
Yeah.
And I made one for them.
Cool.
Thought I'd read it.
Yeah, cool.
Why not?
Yeah.
Everybody grab a pen.
There you go.
As per usual, my shit is fucking definitive.
That's right.
What?
It is.
What? So, being Bill, my list just can't be a top 10. There's 13 films because I just couldn't decide.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
It got really hard. Number 13, Gaspar Noé's Irreversible.
Okay,
which is an absolutely brutal film.
Yeah.
You know if you've seen it. Number 12, Michael Haneke's Kashe. We'll be talking about that in a bit. Number 11, The Best of Youth.
Okay, yeah.
A former Movie Club
Sweet.
Film. Adrian and I both like it. Number 10, Son of Saul.
Nice.
My number one film of last year.
Yeah.
Number 9, Boyhood. My number one film of 2 years ago.
Nice.
Number 8, Jacques Audiard's Un Prophète.
Oh, that's a beautiful film, dude.
Damn good film.
Hell yeah.
If you haven't seen that film, rush. Rush to go to Netflix and watch that film.
Yeah.
Number 7, Gus Van Sant's Elephant.
Okay.
About the Columbine murders.
Oh, yeah.
It's a hard film, but it's beautiful.
Nice.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Number 6, Untitled, the almost famous director's cut.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah? Wow. I watched that a couple days ago.
Oh, nice.
That film hasn't gotten any worse, man.
Yeah.
If not, it's gotten way better.
Nice.
I love that film.
Yeah.
Number 5, Amelie.
Nice.
Yeah.
Love that film.
Love that film. Number 4, Wong Kar-wai's In the Mood for Love.
Okay.
The most beautiful film I think I've ever seen.
Nice.
Number 3, I just talked about it, Terrence Malick's The New World.
Oh, sweet.
Still like the theatrical version the best.
Yeah.
Number 2, A Tie.
Okay.
Something I usually don't do, but fuck it, it's Shane Carruth.
Oh, nice.
Primer in Upstream Color.
Oh, dude.
And number 1, there's not even a choice. Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford.
Right on, dude.
Not even close.
Not even close.
Yeah. Special That's mention awesome. To Mulholland Drive, which pissed me off that it wasn't on the list.
Oh, yeah.
I love that film.
Nice. So that was the best films since 2000?
Since 2000.
Okay.
Yeah, they had a good show. It's some good stuff talked about on
that
show.
Oh, totally. Yeah, and it sounded like there were really, there were some that they were just like, oh, that was on my, you know, the ones that I'm thinking about putting on my list. And
yeah,
it's tough to do those, man.
Yeah, I had about 50 that I whittled that down from.
Yeah.
And they were all like 5-star,
yeah,
like number one films of the year,
nice.
Or number two of the year kind of
oh,
stuff.
Really?
And I was like, oh, geez, how do you pick those?
Yeah, that's right.
But yeah, man.
Well, that's awesome.
Does that catch everybody up? Or
I think so. Yeah. I think so. Yeah. I had nothing else. Just, yeah, footy, NFL preseason. I got cable back.
Why'd you get cable back?
Because we got a sweet deal through Shaw. So we're like, yeah, let's do that.
So it's more than $150, but less than $200 a month?
No, it's less than $100 a month.
Wow.
I'm getting more than what I was, like, I was paying about $80 a month, and I'm paying that, well, $85, and I'm getting, like, yeah, like the, not the basic TV, but a step up over that, and I've got the new Shaw 150, and yeah, I got a pretty sweet setup.
Nice.
Through this sales dude, so.
Cool. I still do not have cable.
Oh, yeah.
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 I'm a holdout.
Right on. Yeah, no, it's good if you can pull it off, because it's the machine, man. It's the fucking machine.
The scary thing is that you have cable and internet, and my internet bill is still higher than your entire bill.
Oh, dude.
My internet's $115 a month.
Damn, that's rough, man.
Yeah, but that I have sucks. Super fast internet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Who are you with?
Shaw.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that guy, he could only set you up if, like, because we put it under Sarah's name.
Nice.
So because I already had an account, and she got the new customer deal. So
you could put it under Bort Harris.
There you go.
I have a child named Bort.
Yeah, that's right. Here you go.
Did you guys get the Simpsons reference? Sorry.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess we can get moving on with the rest of the show here. So let's get into the rant. This is where we rant about anything movie-related. Why don't you go first?
All right, so we always talk about films that the general public has not supported.
Right.
Yeah. I'm not going to spoil anything, but I think we both kind of liked Kubo.
Yeah.
It only made $12.6 million this weekend.
That's a crime,
dude. God damn it.
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
That's a shame.
Okay. So every other crappy animated film of the year has made over $100 million. This might not make 50.
That's really sad,
dude. And it's better than all of them put together.
Yeah.
And that frustrates me.
Yeah.
This is why we don't get nice things.
Yeah.
Because every time there's something good, it's not supported.
Yeah.
And it sucks.
Yeah.
Laika is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Did you guys not see Paranorman?
Yeah.
Like, exactly. That should have been enough.
Paranorman's amazing.
You should have saw the commercial and it said from the creators of Paranorman. You should have been like, I'm there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And no, nobody went. Yeah. It wasn't even, I think it was like the number five movie of the weekend.
Oh.
Sausage Party, which dropped 60% over last week, was still higher.
Jeez.
Yeah.
An R-rated animated film. That's crazy.
We're doing it wrong, folks.
Yeah.
We're just doing it wrong.
Oh, big time.
Rant out.
Yeah. That's shameful, dude, because that movie should be doing way better. And I told you before we started recording, I was like, the prologue is better than anything in any animated film this year. And yeah, I'm going to get controversial and say better than Finding Dory. You know,
watch your mouth.
I loved Finding Dory, but you know, that prologue, which is, you know, 5 minutes or whatever it is, you couldn't find a better 5 minutes than any of the other animated films this year, is what I'm saying.
Save it for the review, sir.
Okay. There we go.
Rant up.
My rant is just about nostalgia. I think I've probably ranted about this before, but it's starting to kind of ruin my experience with movies and TV. So you get people who go like, you know, a lot of people out there generalize. I'm probably guilty of this myself, but not of this in particular thing, where people say, Hollywood has run out of ideas. I hate when people say that, but then they'll follow it up with, OMG, have you seen that show? It's called Nostalgia Things. I mean, Stranger Things. And they'll say, it reminds me of Goonies and E.T. and start naming all these movies that it reminds them of. And it's like my childhood all over again. It's like, you idiots were just talking about how Hollywood has run out of ideas and you love this show that's reminding you of your childhood. Like, pick one and stick with it. And it's an okay show. I have 3 episodes left and I'm not in a big rush to finish them because it's kind of painful to get through at times.
It's comfort food, man.
I guess so. But I don't know. When nostalgia plays the primary role of the narrative, like, I'm just not okay with that.
I'm just being devil's advocate. Like, yeah. Fuck nostalgia.
Yeah.
We've said this before.
Yeah. And the interesting thing is, I think it's always been there. Like, even in Gremlins, there's all kinds of little things in the background in the boys' room. And
do you ever notice that it's always 80s nostalgia that pisses us off?
Hey, that's true.
It's just, I think it's just 80s movies get beaten over by all the nerds love to like talk about the 80s.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
I'd rather leave them there.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think I'm on repeat at this point, so I'll stop it there. Rant out.
You didn't talk about Twitter. Might be a first.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, where do you think I'm reading these things? Probably on Twitter. And, you know. But anyway, well, I guess we can get into the review portion of our show. Let's talk about Sausage Party.
Look at these big old buns. Yeah! You know it, baby! Work those buns! All of you. All day, day. Lined up, waiting to get filled with my meat.
Yeah, right, Carl. You really think any of these buns are going to line up to get filled by you? Here's my impression of that happening. Oh, is he in there yet? Oh, I can't feel him. I don't think he's in there. Oh, wait, he is. So sad. I bet you jackrabbit for a quick 15 seconds. Like, and then you slump over. I mean, honestly, guys, who in this package would ever let Carl get up in them? Huh? Roberta, put your fucking hand down. You're ruining my joke.
All right, Sausage Party. What did IMDb have to say about this movie?
Directed by Greg Tiernan and Conrad Vernon, a sausage strives to discover the truth about his existence.
Bam. Dun, dun, dun.
IMDb.
Yeah.
I miss you, IMDb.
Yeah, that's right. So what's this movie really about?
Sex, drugs, and rock and roll, baby.
It totally is, isn't it? Oh, and throwing a bit of religious tics in there.
Some weird, like, where did this religious stuff come from that I totally was not expecting?
Yeah.
So yeah, Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg.
Yeah. I think this is like, if we're going to compare this to baseball, this is like a nice double in the gap kind of thing. You know, it's like, get a runner in scoring position. Yeah, everybody celebrates. Not quite a home run, but I still enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's only 90 minutes.
Yeah.
It's pretty quick. It's funny.
It is.
Even when it strikes out, to use your baseball analogy, thank you.
Yeah.
It's still trying really hard.
Oh, yeah.
And I give them a lot of credit for that.
Yeah.
It doesn't all work.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes it really strikes out. I'm just like, oh, come on. But it's funny. The idea is super crazy. Like, the talking food and them trying to find out what happens after they leave the store. I thought it worked.
Oh, it totally worked.
It's not a great film, but it's funny. And you definitely do a lot worse than this.
Oh, totally. Yeah. I really enjoyed this. I laughed a ton during this movie, and it had like really funny little references. Like, they had a Saving Private Ryan bit in the movie, and you can see part of that in the trailer.
With a lot of flour.
Oh, yeah. That's right. And and I know it's to be expected because it's called Sausage Party, but the sex humor was really hardcore in this.
Yeah, I like that it's not afraid to be crude, too.
Yeah.
Like, this is an adult comedy.
It really is.
And nothing is really off limits in this film.
Exactly.
And it's going places I didn't think it was going to go.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, it sneak previewed at South by Southwest.
Yeah.
It was longer.
Oh, it was?
Yeah. And I heard it was a lot cruder.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They had to cut some stuff to get a rating.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Huh. I didn't know that.
I kind of want to see that cut.
That would be interesting.
I thought it was pretty funny to begin with. And, you know, throw some extra shit in.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
But, you know, even at 90 minutes, I think it runs out of steam a little bit at the end.
It does, big time.
But, I don't know. It's weird how a kind of smart adult comedy that's a little bit crude makes money.
Yeah.
Who would have thought?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Wasn't that the 80s?
I think it was.
Sorry to bring that back up.
Yeah. And I guess talking about this, and you mentioned to me a couple days ago the Chris Jericho podcast with Eli Roth, where they talked about teen sex comedies. I listened to that.
That was a good show, eh?
That was awesome.
Yeah.
Eli Roth, he's just like an encyclopedia.
Totally.
It's crazy.
Of the crappiest films ever made.
Yeah. And this kind of, it is kind of playing off of that kind of spirit.
Yeah.
Of that, you know, we're going to talk about sex and we're going to talk about dynamics of male female and female female and male male and
It's crisscrossing
it all.
Yeah.
I thought that stuff was awesome.
I think we should have more of these kind of films and less fatty fall down films.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point.
Which is a tired concept to me. Yeah. Here's my question.
Yeah.
So a lot of people were talking about certain aspects of the film maybe being racist or homophobic.
Yeah.
As a First Nations.
Yeah.
What'd you think of Firewater?
I thought he was awesome.
I thought he was the smartest guy in the room.
He was. And I thought that was cool.
Like, yeah.
It didn't bother me one bit that it was voiced by a white guy, Bill Hader, because he did a damn good job.
I thought he was funny.
He was funny.
And as I said, he had all the sage advice for everybody. He was the man.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was like the leader.
He totally was.
And I was like, okay, I don't really have a problem with this. People are putting shit into this that's not there.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, there was a lot of people who got upset, like you said, sort of homophobic things and also racist jokes, like straight up racism. But there's no way you can sugarcoat these things. Like, they just go for the gusto. And I had a lot of respect for that because they treat it with a lot of care. And it sounds weird to say that, especially when they're talking about, you know, this race hates this race. And but the thing is, like, they're putting world views into this animated film.
This weird little animated film.
Yeah. And they're kind of going, here's where you guys are getting this wrong. Yeah. And I like that. I thought that was cool.
I didn't really have a problem with it.
It served a purpose, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
I'm like the most un-PC person in the world.
Yeah.
I just like everybody.
Yeah.
I'm cool with everything.
Exactly.
It's a fun little film.
It is.
I think you can do a lot worse than this.
Yeah.
Comedy-wise, it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
It's, along with like Hail Caesar and Hail Caesar, as you said.
Yeah.
It's like one of the funnier films of the year.
Oh, totally. Yes. Yeah. And I think that watching it with a friend or with a group of friends while maybe you've had a few drinks or any other substance might be a good time.
Yeah.
So I know that I was in a pretty small crowd, but everybody was having a blast. And I thought that was added to it. It was cool.
Yeah. I rated it like 3.5 out of 5.
Yeah. I'd go about the same.
As I said, I was out of steam at the end, but hey. Yeah. Can't win them all, right?
Exactly.
It's all good.
Yeah.
I had no problem with this film.
So, yeah, check it out if you're interested. And if you get easily offended, then stick with your basic Disney bullshit movies.
Your Melissa McCarthy movies.
There you go. Yes.
Love me some Melissa McCarthy movies.
There you go.
There's one later in Lightning Round. You ready for it?
Yeah, let's do it.
I literally have a couple friends who are like waiting for me to talk about Ghostbusters.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice. We'll get into that for sure.
I think they're going to be a little bit surprised, though.
Yeah. Cool. All right, so that's Sausage Party. Let's move on to our next movie. Let's talk about War Dogs.
We're talking exclusive access to a stockpile of Soviet bloc non-standard weapons and ammo. That's going to win this deal for us. He's on a terrorist watch list.
Whatever. People end up on that list for bringing scissors onto an airplane.
That's not why he's on the list. Look, the Pentagon wants 100 million rounds of AK-47 ammo in the middle of a worldwide shortage. Where do you think they think that's going to come from?
Okay, War Dogs. This is... I believe it had a director and a writer, didn't it?
Todd Phillips.
Todd Phillips. Did somebody actually write this script?
I don't know.
Okay.
Todd Phillips of Hangover fame.
Yeah.
Thoughts on the Hangovers?
I like the first.
Me too.
Hated the second. Actually didn't mind the third, which is weird.
Okay, I hated part 2 and 3 with a massive passion.
Yeah.
Two young men win a $300 million contract from the Pentagon to arm America's allies in Afghanistan. Thank you, IMDb. This is a pretty piss-poor film.
It's bad.
Have you seen the trailer?
You've seen the movie.
You've seen the movie.
Yeah.
It's beat for beat.
Yeah.
Other than the ending, which they didn't explain in the trailer, because that would be really terrible.
Yeah.
Because, you know, giving away 90% of the film is not enough. It's lazy. It's just there.
Yeah.
On the screen, and you're like, wow, I know exactly. Oh, okay, that happened. Yeah, called it.
Yeah.
Nothing going on there. Jonah Hill, Miles Teller. I usually like Miles Teller.
No.
He's milk toast in this film.
He's really just picking up a paycheck in this one.
And Jonah Hill is just trying to be really brash. That doesn't work.
I thought he was trying to be like Joe Pesci in Goodfellas and Casino. That's what he was going for.
Yeah, I was watching this. This came into my head. I am not kidding. I'm like, oh God, Adrian hated this film.
Yes, I did. Yeah, it's got voiceover where something's happening on the screen and he's telling you what's happening on the screen.
The laziest editing tool ever.
Yeah, it's their we'll fix it in post, but there's nothing to fix.
No, like the idea of this film is actually really good.
It is.
The idea of these guys pulling the wool over the American government and getting all this money for doing something that, you know, less than 10 people probably shouldn't be doing. It should be a giant company that actually has contracts and knows all this stuff. They bullshit their way through it.
Yeah.
And the fact that it actually happened should have been a cool story. Like,
oh, yeah.
But I'm just like, this is dumb.
Yeah.
It's boring me. Mm-hmm. This should be better.
It really should.
This should be as good as, like, Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that movie was funny.
Yeah.
Directed by a good director.
Yeah.
Had a really good script.
Oh, yeah.
A likable lead.
Yeah.
Margot Robbie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
This had nothing.
This has none of that.
No.
And, yeah, you mentioned Wolf of Wall Street, and I mentioned Goodfellas and Casino, and I really think Todd Phillips thought he was going to do the Martin Scorsese thing and the De Palma thing with this movie, but he's just such a bad filmmaker that he can't pull that off.
I was talking to a friend earlier who saw it a couple days ago, and he said it's like Todd Phillips watched Pain and Gain.
Oh, yeah.
And decided he was going to try to remake that film.
Yeah, I can see that too.
Yeah, I'm just like, it's all over the place. You're really stealing from everybody.
Yeah.
You're a hack.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're a nice guy. Sorry.
The one thing that confused me is I kept waiting for a Rolling Stones song to come on, but maybe they couldn't get the licensing for that. Maybe they only do that for Scorsese. I don't know.
No, but they got the Pink Floyd song in there.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, wow, Pink Floyd. Yeah. That must have cost a lot of money.
Yeah. Well, that's what gets me about these big budget films is like their music budget must just put indie films to shame.
I apologize to the people sitting beside me because I was singing that Pink Floyd song probably louder than I should have been watching the movie. I was so bored. Yeah. I was singing Wish You Were Here by Pink Floyd.
Nice.
Probably in a very adult voice. So sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's how bored I was.
Oh, totally. And Jonah Hill's character, I don't know what they were going for, but he has this laugh that's supposed to be funny, I think. And they keep doing it. They keep going back to that well. Yeah. And it just didn't work.
Why isn't this better?
Yeah. Yeah. They had a really dumb side story with Miles Teller's wife that just derailed the movie every time it happened. Not that it was on any kind of course, but if it were, that would have taken it even further off.
See, as a male, I found that a little bit redeeming because she might be the hottest woman I've ever seen in my life.
She is. Yeah.
But just...
Yeah.
Slows it right down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's the same scene over and over again.
Pretty much.
You lied to me. I had to. I'm sorry. Oh, it's okay. All right. That's fine.
I'm sorry, baby. I had to go to Iraq. I had to drive a truck full of Berettas through the worst area in the world, Fallujah. Yeah. Which I hear on CNN a lot. I heard it's really bad.
Yeah.
I'm just going to drive me and my buddy Jonah. We're going to drive a truck through Fallujah.
Yeah.
During the middle of a war.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. I lied to you about that. Didn't want to get you scared.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Why are we still talking about this?
I'll give it one thing though. I think there was one good scene in the movie that took place in an elevator. That's where the movie flirted with becoming a good movie. But by that point, I was so far removed, I couldn't really enjoy it that much.
Shout out to Bradley Cooper for his 2 hours of work.
Yeah, he showed up on set for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And peaced out.
Pretty much.
What a dumb movie.
Yeah, it's like a 2 out of 5 all day.
Yeah, I'd probably go lower. I'd probably go one and a half.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's just an incoherent, stupid movie. Anyway. Yeah, why are we still talking about this? Let's move on to something better.
Yeah, something a lot better.
Yeah, let's talk about Kubo and the Two Strings.
There's no sense left in your head.
I think I resent that. I may not know everything.
Anything,
but I do know Kubo is more capable than you think he is. You're being a tiny bit overprotective here.
I'm being a lot overprotective here. It's my job to make sure Kubo is safe, and that is not safe. You are not safe. Kubo is just a child.
And an incredibly gifted one. He just saved our lives.
Yes, he's very powerful, but he still has much to learn.
Directed by Travis Knight, a young boy named Kubo must locate a magical suit of armor worn by his late father in order to defeat a vengeful spirit from the past. Holy shit, this movie.
Holy shit, dude.
Yeah, I'd heard some good things.
Yeah.
It had been screening for a while in Vancouver, and so I know some friends who had seen it.
Oh, cool.
And all they said... Wow.
Wow.
And I'm just like, okay, cool. All right. I'm seeing it in 3 weeks from now, you bastards. Fuck you.
Oh, damn.
Best animated film of the year.
By far.
And I really like Finding Dory.
Yeah. I'm going to say something really crazy here. Brace yourselves. Buckle up your seatbelts. This could be an all-timer for me. I just connected with it on such a huge level that... All I could think about was I want to show my nieces and nephews and future children and their children. And dude, this is storytelling, like, and beautiful visuals, all the things that I love about movies.
Okay, so hypothetically speaking, if last episode, which was a while ago, it seems,
yeah.
we did our top 10 mid-year list, would this be your number one film of the year?
Oh, it would certainly be in contention.
Nice.
Yeah, it would. Yeah, and I think it would be.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. If I'm really being honest about this,
that's
like,
really cool.
Yeah, dude. It's so
sort
amazing.
Of sounds like you had the same reaction that I had when I got a Neon Demon.
Yeah.
I was just like, yep, that's it.
that's the one. Dude. Yeah.
So, yeah, the geniuses at Laika.
Yeah.
Were you a fan of Coraline?
Yeah, I like Coraline.
How about The Box Trolls?
Oh, I didn't see The Box Trolls.
See, I wasn't a fan of that one.
Yeah, I heard enough bad things that I didn't see it.
But I think we all love Paranorman.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, this is the goods, man.
Yeah.
So we got some voice actors. We got Charlize Theron, who's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Matthew McConaughey, also great. Yeah. Doesn't talk in a drawl.
Yeah, that's right.
Which I really liked, which was kind of surprising.
Yeah.
Ralph Fiennes.
Yes.
And Rooney Mara
as
the sisters.
Yeah.
I was just like, yes.
She was great.
Yeah. I just, 30 seconds in, I was hooked.
Yeah.
And I was like, we're like 2 minutes in and I'm crying. Like, this is really screwed up. Like, why is this happening?
Yeah.
And it's just that damn good. Like, you're hooked right away. The plot is that good.
Oh, totally. Yeah, the story they start you out with, he's a little boy who plays this, like, what was it, like a two-string guitar kind of thing?
Yeah.
I don't know what the instrument's called, but he plays it like a guitar, and he tells stories, and he uses these pieces of paper that turn into origami all on their own, and, you know, you get a sense that he's using some form of magic to do this, like it's a trick or something. And
I like how nobody's like questioning the fact that this little kid is like making this paper do these like plays.
Yeah.
And all these townspeople are like, oh, it's really cool. Yeah. I'd be like, what the hell is that?
Yeah. Hang him. Get him.
Witch.
Yeah.
Black Phillip.
That's right. But it's just really cool, like amazing storytelling with beautiful visuals. And you mentioned Rooney Mara, the sisters. When the sisters are first introduced in the film, and you can probably see it in the trailer, you hear their voices in stereo. And at first you only see one of them, and then the other one emerges behind. And that visual will just be... I like want to get that tattooed on my face. I loved it so much.
Now, Mike Tyson.
Yeah. That was just stunning. Like, that took my breath away, and I actually started cheering while I was watching the movie.
But that's one of the scenes that I think makes it a little too intense for kids.
Oh, yeah.
This is more like a PG-13 kind of movie, I think.
It really is.
Yeah, it's got some intense stuff.
Yeah.
Some freaked out kids in my screening.
Oh, no way.
Okay. This one little kid just kept on screaming, I want to go home.
Oh, shit. Just that like, sucks.
Just like, shut up, kid. I'm enjoying this film.
Yeah. Damn. Yeah, I can totally see that. Because, some of the, like, there's a bit where they fall in a cave and
fight this giant monster.
Pretty intense.
Yeah, it's really, I love the quests they have to do.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
Everything about this film.
It keeps moving. It's always interesting. And it's just got all these little pearls of wisdom in there. And it's all about, childhood and independence, parenthood. And it's about life and death and friendship and trust and family lineage and on and on and on. And a village and man.
So everything a Minions film isn't.
Exactly. It's everything that all other movies aren't.
Yeah. I got a couple of little weird things about the film. The 3D is garbage.
Yeah.
So don't go and see it in 3D.
Yeah.
Did you notice a little animation jitter at times?
There was at times.
I noticed it a lot.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I'm going to excuse this. It's a little weird.
Yeah.
I think they might have cleaned that up in post.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, okay, there was like a jerkiness to it.
Yeah.
I was like, that's a little strange. But other than that, this is like a 5-star.
Oh, yeah.
Not even close to being anything other than that. It's one of the best animated films of the year.
Oh, yeah.
You know that... Illumination's got that movie Sing coming out on Christmas Day, so that's that's obviously gonna beat it.
yeah,
hell of a film, man.
Yeah, dude. And what I really appreciate about this film is just how ambitious it is through the whole runtime, and it doesn't look back, doesn't pull any punches. Super imaginative, like the world building. There's stuff that goes on where I was just like, this reminds me of like trippy ass shit in like Spirited Away. Not that I'm comparing the two, but just the reaction I had to Spirited Away when I'm like, hey, why are those animals talking? why are the parents pigs and why are they eating? And like, not that there's images like that in this, but just the reaction I had, I was just like kind of blown away and at times had a hard time processing just because I felt like just so blown away by what was happening on screen.
I think it's become pretty apparent that Laika is the North American Studio Ghibli.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They're that good.
Yeah. I agree with that.
This should be the, you know, fuck the Oscars, but this should be the runaway Oscar winner.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even a question.
Yeah.
Just for the craft alone. Oh, yeah. Like, yeah. It's amazing. But it's a little too intense, so they might not like it.
Maybe.
Yeah.
And I do recommend people stay through the credits, too, because they show some of how it works.
Yeah.
I love when they do that.
Yeah, they always do that on their movies. That's I love that, too.
Yeah.
I had to go and see War Dogs after it, so I had to leave, but okay. I'll watch it on the Blu-ray.
Yeah, there you go.
Fucking War Dogs.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to mention, too, is the little boy in the movie is voiced by Art Parkinson, a.k.a. Rickon Stark from Game of Thrones.
Nice!
Yeah, I was checking that. I was like, who is that little kid?
You mean the idiot who can't run in a zigzag direction and not get shot by an arrow?
What an idiot!
Yeah, just run straight, moron.
It's his fault.
You know nothing, Rickon Stark. You know nothing.
Right. Well, now I know who to call for target practice.
Great scene, though. Oh, totally. That episode is amazing.
Yeah.
Is that a spoiler? How have you not seen Game of Thrones? Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're watching Game of Thrones, you should have seen that by now. And if you're not, you're an idiot.
Steal somebody's HBO Go password. Watch Game of Thrones.
There you go. There you go. So, yeah, I'm super high on this film. And, you know, I talked about hyperbole before on this show, and I'm really careful with the words I choose. And yeah, I'm going to stick to my guns and... At the end of the year, at the end of, you know, when I think about all-time favorite animated films, I truly believe this will be in my conversation when it comes to my favorites.
And yeah, I'm straight.
Yeah, I love this film. And if you're listening, if you're on the fence about it, if you're even remotely interested, I urge you to go see it. I can't imagine anybody having a bad time with this movie.
Yeah, give it all your money.
Yeah.
How sick is that Blu-ray going to look?
Oh, it's going to be wicked.
Cannot wait.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cannot wait. Yeah. Day one purchase.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Kubo.
Go see it. Well, let's move on to the next part of the show. Let's get into the movie club. This episode's movie club is Caché. Now, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about this movie?
So it's from the year 2005 from director Michael Haneke. The film follows a upper-class family in France who are terrorized by anonymous tapes that appear on their front porch that might have something to do with a childhood memory of the husband.
Yeah.
Or something else. Or something else. Because yeah. There's never just one thing going on in a Michael Haneke film.
It's yeah, it is a dizzying film to watch.
It's really unnerving.
It is.
The first shot of the film is the tape that they get. And it's just a static shot of the house. And the credits go over it line by line.
Yeah.
It's really effective. And like, it's a really cool credits.
Mm-hmm.
And right in that opening shot, he sets that the whole tape thing up. Like throughout the entire film, you see that shot like five or six times.
Yeah.
And you have no idea if it's live.
Yeah.
Or if it's a tape.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're a genius.
Yeah.
And it's 30 seconds into the film.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh man.
Yeah.
You're great.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the crazy thing about watching this movie is I felt really, it was disorienting to watch. Because you don't know what's real
yeah.
and what's recorded. It gives you that sense of paranoia that the main character goes through. And there is no hand-holding in this movie, right?
No. Michael Haneke does not give a fuck.
Yeah.
No, he is world class.
Yeah.
The film stars Daniel Auteuil and the great Juliette Binoche.
Yeah.
Who, if anybody knows, starred in probably my favorite film ever made, Blue.
Yeah.
And as you said, when I first saw this film, I saw it at a film festival.
Okay.
And it was the last film I saw that year at the Vancouver International Film Festival.
Oh, wow.
And it was at the Vogue. Yeah. And there was like 1,500 people in there.
Oh, wow.
And I've never felt an audience like that before.
Really?
You could tell people were just like going batshit crazy watching
this
film.
Freaking out.
Yeah, yeah. Like it's a disturbing kind of film.
Yeah.
He's really good at this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So they get these tapes and they always have a picture on it.
Yeah.
They're almost as disturbing as the tapes.
Oh, yeah.
There's a picture of a bleeding boy.
Yeah.
A chicken with his head cut off.
Yeah.
And it's all done in, like, crayon.
Yeah.
By, like, a four-year-old.
Yeah. So you're going, what maniac did this?
Oh, it's Michael Haneke.
Michael Haneke, yeah.
So the two main characters have a son.
Yeah.
He's going through puberty.
Yeah.
He's very emotional.
He is.
Lots of weird stuff going on with him. The entire film, to me, is about class.
Okay.
And how privilege, even when you're adult, can still fuck you up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even when you're a child, it can fuck you up. And when you're an adult, it can fuck you up. The whole idea of this film is that the main character, played by Daniel Auteuil, does something really stupid when he was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes back to haunt him big time.
Oh, yeah.
When he was a child, his parents were going to adopt a child. A minority.
Yeah.
And I don't think he liked that.
Yeah.
And decided that he was going to make it so he wasn't going to get adopted.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, 20 years later, he starts getting tapes.
Yeah.
With stuff that looks very familiar to what happened during that childhood stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, okay, class to me is something that Haneke always talks about in his films.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea that... Do you get the ending?
I didn't.
Okay. Yeah. So the idea of Majid, the guy who was going to get adopted, when he becomes adult, he has a child. I'm going to explain something here.
Mm-hmm.
Bear with me. And even though this whole class system destroys his life, he still becomes a really good man.
Yeah.
Raises a really good son. And the son finds out about what happened to him as a kid.
Okay.
And then starts sending the tapes.
That's what happened then. Okay, yeah.
Do you remember last show where I said watch the credits?
Yeah, I actually had to Google that because I didn't get it.
So the final scene of the film, if you haven't seen the film, completely explains the film.
Yeah.
The two sons, Majid's son and the Auteuil and Juliette Binoche character, are talking to each other at school.
Yeah. And they were never seen in the movie together.
And I remember watching the screening going, holy shit. I saw it on the screen. And I'm just like, the balls of this guy. He doesn't explain a fucking thing.
Yeah.
Except for a fleeting shot in the final shot of the film of two people talking that completely explains the film.
Yeah. And they're not in focus. Like, no. They're not the central focus of that shot. And he uses deception even in that. Like, because you see, I believe, a lady walking downstairs. And there's a lot going on in that final shot. I must have watched it about 5 times and didn't see it. I actually had to Google it to find out.
So the entire film is about a son, two sons, one whose father was destroyed by class, who is just probably would have had a way better life if he had been adopted.
Oh, yeah.
And then turns out to be a man living in a lower class of society and his son finding out and taking revenge for him.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And, oh, by the way, he also knows their son, and his son gets in it too.
Right.
And I'm just like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
This movie is so great.
Yeah.
I think it's a freaking masterpiece.
Mm-hmm.
It has the most shocking scene I've ever seen in a film.
Oh, yeah. That scene was like, holy shit, dude.
As I said, the festival I saw it at, people screamed.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah. I've never heard people scream before.
Yeah.
It was intense.
Must have been like a black hole effect.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I wanted you to be here to see this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
oh man.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It is insane.
Yeah. Yeah. The stupid things we do as children coming back to haunt.
Yeah.
And I never has Haneke been this not. He, as you said, he doesn't hold your hand at all on this film. Like a film like Amour, it's very straight.
Yeah.
But there's still the weird Haneke shit in it.
Oh, yeah.
This is his most obtuse.
Yeah.
And give me this all day, man. Yeah. I freaking love this kind of stuff. Thoughts?
Most of it went sailing way over my head. And, you know, I'm pretty sure probably a lot of audience members felt that way too. You know, not putting that together at the end. So I didn't feel that closure as I was watching the film, and I was really frustrated with that. And it's a complex film, dude.
Yeah.
And it was a challenge that I didn't quite pick up on because I didn't understand it.
But I'm thinking for the next couple of days, you probably thought about it.
Oh, totally.
Because it's one of those films that's just magnetic.
Yeah.
That's Haneke to me. He is just, everything he puts on the screen is magnetic.
Yeah.
You can't, even if it's destroying you, you still have to watch it.
Yeah.
Like, as I said before, like I rewatched Amour, which I never said I was going to do.
Yeah.
That film is so harsh.
Yeah.
But it's incredibly calm.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just like, this is so... what did he just do? What did he just do?
Really just went there.
Yeah. That's like, that's Michael Haneke for me. Yeah. He's just such a amazing filmmaker.
Yeah.
I love pretty much everything he's ever made.
Nice.
And I think that this was him at his strongest.
Yeah.
And I'm super happy you watched it.
Yeah.
Even if it didn't quite knock you out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that it at least made an impression.
Oh, it definitely did, for sure. Like, and you can't deny the performances in the film, because it's the performances that really sell what's happening. Like when he goes to that apartment and knocks on the door, and man, it really feels like you're in on something you shouldn't be watching, but you're watching it anyway, right? When you get into the room as things are unfolding, you're just like, oh, I should not be here right now. I should not be here right now. Why are we here?
Yeah. And as I said before, the second time he shows up to that apartment, the first time I watched it, I had a feeling of dread.
Yeah.
And man, did he knock that home.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Funny little Oscar fact for Caché.
Okay, yeah.
With our familiar fuck the Oscars.
Yeah.
Caché was not nominated for the best foreign film actor because it was a Austrian director in French language.
Are you serious?
So because it was multiple countries, it got disqualified.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's ridiculous. Yeah.
Michael Haneke is an Austrian.
Oh.
And Julia Binoche is French.
That's just dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stupid little semantics like that just drive me nuts. Both that's the Oscars.
Bad. Yeah. And how countries can only submit one film, as if there's only one good French film or Austrian film.
Yeah. French Canadian films usually have more than one really great film a year. So,
oh, yeah.
Shout out to us Canadians. But I'm glad you watched it, even if it wasn't a home run.
Yeah.
I think that's what's cool about Movie Club is that we're, you know, checking out shit that's going to expand your palate a little bit.
Yeah.
And there's one thing you can say about Michael Haneke films. They expand your palate.
Oh, totally. Oh, yeah. Big time.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like when you try out that restaurant that you've always driven past but never had the balls to try because it was intimidating.
I really don't like snake, but fuck it. I'm going to try it anyway.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Oh, one thing I wanted to mention is friend of the show, Jim Pugliafico from Movie Bears Podcast, watched the movie, right?
He did.
What did he have to say about it?
I think he really dug it.
Cool.
He really expressed how this was Haneke at his, like, not hand-holding best.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, yeah, there's no answers to this film unless you're really paying attention.
Yeah.
And, I know, challenge me every day.
Yeah.
I don't... this is the kind of filmmaking I like to watch.
Yeah.
And I think Jim and I think Will also watched it too.
Oh, cool.
He'd already seen it, but I think he rewatched it.
Oh, nice.
And I think he really likes it too.
Yeah.
So high recommendation from them too.
Nice.
Yeah, I think it's a special film. Ooh. As I said earlier on my list for the best films since 2000, I had it number 12.
Nice. Yeah, that's high praise, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool. A lovely film.
Yeah. Right on, dude. One thing I wanted to mention real quick, this is something I maybe should have mentioned at the beginning of the movie, but I've been renting movies from video stores lately.
Nice.
So I think that's one thing people should explore, period. But especially when it comes to movie clubs, sometimes these movies aren't available on iTunes or on demand or Netflix or Hulu and stuff. Look up your local video store. It's a freaking awesome experience, dude.
Or your library.
Or the library. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can get it for free at the library.
Yeah.
For like a week. And the cool thing is I went to one of our local video stores, one of the only ones left, Pick a Flick on Cook Street.
Shout out to Pick a Flick.
Yeah, dude. That place is an institution.
Yeah.
My brother Kyle used to live like half a block away from there. Every time I'd come and visit him in Victoria when, you know, I lived up island, we'd go to Pick a Flick. We'd rent like, you know, the five movies for $5 kind of deal, whatever they had at the time. And man, they still have an outstanding selection, and they bring in foreign films and indie films and Blu-ray and DVD, and it's awesome.
Pick a Flick's awesome because they have a thing on their website that you can recommend a movie for them to buy.
Oh, you can?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. I didn't know that.
So if you're like, I would like you to bring in a Serbian film.
Yeah.
They will try to find a Serbian film.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a really cool thing. And yeah, if you're ever want to join us on Movie Club, look up your local video store or like Bill said, your library. They probably have it. And it's just such a romantic way to watch a movie too. Like you go there and it's looking through the shelves and listening to people the way they pick a movie. And oh, it's so awesome. I love the experience. So yeah,
plus you start looking at movies and you're like, oh shit, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
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 That film was made in the 70s and I heard it's really good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
And Pick a Flick is awesome.
Yeah.
I love that place.
Totally.
Yeah.
See, I just wanted to insert that, and I'll be talking a little bit more about my experiences with that probably at the beginning of the show, just because I love it so much, and video stores played such a huge part of my life, and I still want them to be there for me. And
I actually read an article on Pick a Flick a couple days ago,
mm-hmm.
where they said at the peak of their rental period back in the day, they had 14 employees. They now have 3.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it sucks because the video store is dying.
It is.
But yeah. Fuck it. Let's make it last a little longer. Let's
bring it back. Yeah.
Yeah. I got no problem with that.
You know, like record stores, they're making a bit of a comeback. And let's do the same for video stores.
Hell yeah, man.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my little thing I wanted to mention. Also, maybe that'll tie in with our next movie club choice because, hey, maybe you want to go rent it or whatever.
Yeah. Speaking of the next one.
Yeah.
This is weird.
Okay.
This movie club movie is a movie I hadn't seen until about 12 hours ago.
Okay.
This is weird. I always have usually watched the film.
Yeah.
And know it pretty well. And I was bored this morning looking through my Blu-ray collection. I'm like, oh shit, I haven't watched this movie. I've owned it for like a year and a half.
Yeah.
And heard it was really good. It's from 2014, which is weird because usually I'm a super completist. I gotta like see every movie from that year to make my top 10 list. This one passed me by. We live in a small market, so sometimes small films just do not open here.
Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't check it out on iTunes or rent it from the library or whatever. But I bought the Blu-ray used, watched the film. Blew me away.
Nice.
And I'm like, shit, man, Adrian's watching this film.
Right on.
Changed my plans. I had another film ready for him, but this is the goods.
Nice.
From 2014.
Yeah.
Cold in July.
Cold in July.
Directed by Jim Mickle.
Okay.
Starring Michael C. Hall from Dexter fame.
Okay.
Sam Shepard, good character actor.
Yeah, he's good.
And the great Don Johnson.
Don Johnson.
Don Johnson.
All right.
And he is good in this film, as right all of them are.
Nice.
This film, I thought it was going somewhere. Then it just... I couldn't figure this film out.
Really?
And that's pretty rare for me to say, because usually I'm pretty good at figuring films out.
And you figured out, like, Primer. And
yeah. It just kept on changing, and I'm like, my God, this film. Why is nobody talking about this film?
Yeah.
So fuck it. We're going to start talking about this film. I think it's that damn good.
Right on, dude.
Yeah, I hope you enjoy this one, because it blew me away.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to talk about it next episode, because I think it's that damn good, man.
Cool. Right on.
Underrated masterpiece from two years ago.
Yeah.
That nobody talks about.
I saw maybe one or two tweets on it when it was out on demand, I think.
Yeah. Cold in July.
Cool.
Which is an oxymoron.
That's right.
It's never cold in July.
That's right.
Yeah.
Cool, man. I think maybe they're talking about Cold Blood in July.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
Nice.
Yes. Okay, so Cold in July, if you want to watch it by, I'm going to say the second week of September. Just remember, I'm going to Saskatchewan.
Cool.
Weekend we'd normally record.
And then it gets weird after that.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy because we both have festivals to go to.
Yeah, it's festival season, folks.
It's just around the corner, man.
Yeah.
So yeah, watch Cold in July. Send us your comments through Twitter or Facebook, and we'll read them on the show if you get it in on time. Otherwise, maybe just listen for the next show and see if you want to check it out.
Seriously, people. Yeah. It's like the best neo-noir film I've seen in a very long time.
Nice.
Seriously, watch this one. It's not a foreign film.
Yeah.
It's not one of those weird films that Bill picks.
Yeah.
This is an American film set in Texas.
Nice.
It's good.
Yeah.
Blew me away.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one thing I wanted to mention too, just in case we have any new listeners, you'll learn this during festival season, but Bill sees a lot of movies. I see a lot of movies as well. Bill's like in his own ballpark. So when he has high praise for a movie, when he says it's the goods, he's seen it all. And to unearth this movie that nobody's talking about, I think is really worth checking out. So
thanks, man.
Yeah. Just wanted to mention that. So yeah, that's something that I think is really important, because, you know, some people will watch, you know, a handful of movies a year, and, you know, I usually watch, you know, probably 20 a month or something, and Bill's on another level. So
not to segue into lightning round, but since we last recorded.
Yeah, since we've last recorded, how many movies have you watched?
35.
35.
I think, somewhere That's around awesome. There.
And you said you had to, like, stop for a bit.
I slowed down this week because it was just getting out of hand.
Yeah.
But I got a few films I really want to watch.
Nice.
I got a Korean film called The Wailing.
Okay.
Got a screener of that.
Nice.
Can't wait to watch that.
Yeah.
I got a couple films I can't talk about.
Okay.
That I have screeners for.
Oh, wow.
Film Fest films.
Nice.
The big horror film that was at Sundance. I got a screener for that.
Oh, really?
Watch out for that next show, maybe.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Right on, dude.
I'll let you in on that one.
Sweet.
And you want to start lightning round? This could take a while.
Yeah, lightning round. Yeah, just because it's been a while since we recorded, this could be a little while.
This is going to be nuts.
If you're new to the show, like I said, lightning round, this is the part of the show where we just offer brief little thoughts on other movies we've watched that we're not throwing in our main review. And these movies are 99% of the time brand new movies or recent movies that just hit, you know, just hit the video store recently or something. So
lots of theatrical this time too, because we were off for a bit.
Yeah.
How do you want to do this?
I don't know, man. We're going to...
How about you do yours?
Yeah.
And then I'll just not talk about those ones.
Okay.
Or I'll talk about them and just cross them off my list.
Okay, let's do that. And I'll try to be as brief as possible because, you know, I've got a list of maybe 12. First movie, Swiss Army Man, written and directed by the Daniels. These guys are music video directors. It's a movie everybody describes as the farting corpse movie, starring Paul Dano and Daniel Radcliffe. And Daniel Radcliffe plays a corpse that farts a lot. But this is a really, really special movie. I truly believe that this movie is about the two writers and directors writing a friendly love letter to each other, just expressing their love for each other and their appreciation. You know, the opening of the film starts out, you realize that Paul Dano is on a deserted island all by himself, trying to send a message in a bottle kind of thing, trying to get help. Then you see him about to hang himself. Then he sees this corpse wash up on shore, and he goes and checks it out, and it's Daniel Radcliffe, and he farts in his face. And I think some of the metaphors in the film are pretty pretty obvious, but that doesn't take away the strength of what they represent. I think it takes a lot of bravery and courage to say, this is my best friend, and here's why I love my friend. And it also talks about like insecurities about relationships and being alone and other friendships and relationship between your father. Just, it's got so much going on.
I love hearing you talk about movies because we usually have completely different views on what movie's about.
Yeah.
I just thought it was about a dude who was trying to not go crazy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's part of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think there's so, like, I'm actually working on a really big piece that's going to be way overbloated. But yeah, there's so much going on in this film. It's one of my favorites of the year so far.
I liked it. I thought it was very good. I don't think it's like a 4 out of 5 kind of film.
Yeah.
It's cool. Still really good. I really liked it. Just thought it was a little repetitive at times.
Oh, really?
But I did like it.
Yeah.
It's definitely got a nice heart to it.
Oh, yeah.
I quite like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it is very lighthearted and it's got a really weird cameo at the end of the movie too.
Yeah.
There's this
from a director.
Yeah. Like cinephiles will recognize this person. Other people will just completely dismiss and have no idea who that person is.
I completely lost my shit when I saw him.
Same here.
I was like, "Oh my God."
Yeah. That was cool.
Yeah.
And I don't know why that person was there, but I was happy.
I have no idea, but 99.999 repeating percent of people will not recognize that person.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Even if they've seen the films.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
That's a good point. But yeah, love Swiss Army Man.
Cool.
Next on my list, Ghostbusters. I enjoyed it. I thought it was funny. I liked the cast. I liked the characters. Had some problems with it. Not all the jokes worked. And there were some obnoxious cameos in the film that really killed the momentum of what was happening at the time. So, but yeah, I enjoyed myself.
I liked it.
Yeah.
People are going to be weirded out for me saying that.
Right.
But I liked it. I didn't think it was great. Had some major problems with it, mostly involving the third act.
Mm-hmm.
How it becomes like a totally a different film.
It does.
I thought that Melissa McCarthy was fine.
Yeah, she's restrained.
She's
in this
restrained.
One.
Yeah. Kristen Wiig drove me nuts.
Oh, really?
She's a totally smart woman who becomes a stupid woman.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
There's
a
scene where she's trying to talk to somebody in a diner, and she grabs a table, and they pick her up and start to pull her away. And I felt so embarrassed for Kristen Wiig.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't think of that.
She's like this giant scientist woman who's like smart.
Genius.
And becomes a complete stupid woman.
Yeah.
And there's a thing in the end that drove me nuts too, involving a rope.
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about. That scene sucked.
It did.
But overall, I thought it was fine. I liked Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah, he was funny.
He was good.
Yeah.
I liked everybody. Kate McKinnon's a star, but we already you ever watch SNL?
Oh yeah,
you already knew that.
Yeah,
she's great.
Yeah,
the cameos were weird.
Yeah,
and is this film in an alternate dimension?
I don't know.
Because that's the only way you explain the cameos.
I guess so, yeah.
They don't make sense to me.
That's true. Yeah, it's
like a 3 out of 5 all day.
Yeah, I'd be a little bit higher, 3.5.
Yeah.
4 if I'm feeling generous, but yeah, definitely 3.5. I enjoyed it.
You could get worse than this, man. It's fine.
Yeah.
Lots of people talking shit about it, but it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's not perfect.
Yeah. Next on my list, this was on Netflix. It's a music documentary called I Am Thor. Full disclosure, we're in BC. Vancouver is like a second home, and this is about a Vancouver rock dude who's named Thor. He took after the character of Thor, like he's a big muscular bodybuilder who became a rocker, and he was all about the sex, drugs, and rock and roll. He's talking about, you know, getting blowjobs before the show and after the show, and having sex with groupies and stuff. And it's crazy. Like, he tells all these crazy stories. And, you know, we've all heard him before, but I think I really enjoyed it because he was just an interesting character. And he's from Vancouver, and I think that's really cool. And, you know, it's one of those forgotten music icons and could have been the best kind of thing. And
sounds like the Anvil documentary.
Yeah. Yeah. It followed a lot of the same structure of that for sure.
But was the music any good?
I didn't love it.
It was like 80s cock rock.
It was exactly that. Yeah. Hair metal.
Nice.
Yeah. But yeah, he just had a presence to him and kind of a showmanship to go with his, he would like fight monsters and stuff on stage. Yeah. He'd bend steel and
nice
break concrete, like cinder blocks and stuff. And
so he's the cheap, shitty version of Kiss.
Oh yeah, exactly. Nice. Yeah, totally. So yeah, that one's called I Am Thor. Next up on my list, I just wrote these down as they came to my head. Suicide Squad. Man, I liked Will Smith. I liked some of Margot Robbie's stuff. Otherwise, this movie's just so far all over the place. Like,
I didn't mind Joel Kinnaman either.
Oh, Kinnaman's good. Yeah,
he's not bad.
He plays the role really well.
I think a buddy of mine nailed this film. It needed a villain.
It did. Yeah.
Everything doesn't work because there's no focus.
Yeah.
Plus, the studio took the film away from the director.
They
did. So it makes no fucking sense.
Yeah.
The first 20 minutes is David Ayer's film, I think.
Yeah.
Because it's actually kind of coherent.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, the beginning is way better than anything
And then
else.
It just goes off the rails, and you don't care about anything.
Yeah. Or anyone.
Or, yeah. And I'm just like, okay, this is terrible.
Yeah.
Supposedly, did you read that letter from that Warner Brothers employee?
No.
Who wrote some website bitching about how fucked up Warner Brothers is right now?
Oh, really?
And how they're just completely destroying DC.
Jeez.
And how supposedly Wonder Woman's a mess?
Oh, I read that, yeah. I read Farachi's rebuttal to that.
Yeah, I don't know. If they fuck Wonder Woman up,
yeah,
they might be done.
Yeah, I think so.
There's a lot of people really wanting Wonder Woman to be good.
Yeah, yeah. I'm excited for that one.
Yeah. Justice League looks good, too. That trailer. I love that trailer.
Yeah, me too, yeah.
Aquaman looks sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just like, no. Suicide Squad sucked.
Yeah.
Everything you heard about it is true.
Yeah.
It's pretty unwatchable.
Gross mistreatment of women in this, too. Like, if you want to talk about being offended, Adam Beach, he's the only working First Nations actor in North America. When he shows up, he jumps off the helicopter and sucker punches a woman to the face really hard. I'm talking the way you would punch a bad guy. And she was just standing there. And he said something like, oh, she had a mouth on her. And it's supposed to be funny because she wasn't saying anything, right? It's like, if you want to talk about being offended, it's like, hey, here's the only First Nations person who's ever been on a movie or a TV show that may have been watched by non-First Nations people, and he just punched a woman out.
Not to mention, every character in that film pretty much had a intro video, except for him.
That's right.
What?
Yeah, it was like a big, like, here's a little insider info. That was like a big moment for First Nations people, especially like amongst my family and stuff. Everybody's really excited about that. And he was just a shitty character who was on screen for about 35 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah, that shit felt oddly racist.
It was brutal.
Yeah. But yeah, avoid the hell out of Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
Supposedly it has to make like $800 million to make money.
Oh, really?
And it's only at about 500 right now.
That's crazy.
So hopefully they have to figure this out.
Yeah.
These are big movies.
Yeah.
That people really want to see. Yeah. People obviously wanted to see Suicide Squad.
Oh, yeah. I was one of them.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. And yeah, they fucked it up.
They did.
Say what you will about Marvel.
Yeah.
Even when they miss, the movies are okay.
Yeah, they're still pretty entertaining.
Yeah. Not this.
Yeah.
Sorry.
There was one thing I liked about it. Will Smith had a cool action sequence, and you can watch that in a trailer.
Yeah, but Will Smith always works hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's a decent actor.
Yeah.
And there's a reason why he's a star.
Oh, yeah.
I felt bad for him.
Yeah, me too.
I really did.
Yeah.
And the fact that he probably watched this film like a month ago and was like,
oh, dude.
Damn it.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Also watched Pete's Dragon, which I want to watch the version everybody else has seen because the one I watched was a piece of shit. The prologue is awesome. First 5 minutes of the movie, I was all the way into it. And then it turns into a generic piece of garbage that I hated.
See, I didn't really hate it.
Yeah.
I just found it so sappy. Mm-hmm. Everything turned up to 11. It was cheesy.
It was really cheesy.
I'm just like, this probably, everybody talks about how tame it is and how nice it is. I'm like, nah, it's cheesy. Everything about it. The acting is pretty bad too.
It's horrific.
Yeah.
Like Bryce Dallas Howard, I said this on Twitter, she is the female equivalent to Jai Courtney. Like, how has she gotten this far in Hollywood? All right, look at her last name. She has a dad who is a giant in Hollywood. Maybe that's why she's here.
She's kind of cute, too.
Yeah. But, yeah, and Carl Urban, like, he's hammier than he is in the stupid Star Trek movies, and that's saying a lot. And just, like, stupid writing, too. And I felt so bad because it's from the guy who did Ain't Them Body Saints, right?
Ain't Them Body Saints is another great underrated film.
Yeah, yeah.
Say what you will about its Malick references.
Right.
Whatever.
Yeah.
It's a great film.
Great film.
And, yeah, that's why I was super excited because David Lowry is a talent.
He is, yeah. And there's a bit. This is just one example of the stupidity in this movie. Bryce Dallas Howard, throughout the movie, reminds us about every 10 minutes how she knows these woods. She's knows these woods like the back of her hand. And there's a scene where she goes, I know the woods like the back of my hand. And maybe 45 seconds later, she goes, I've never been to this part of the woods. I was like, yeah, you like, is it the editing, is it the writing, is it the track, was there no script supervisor, like what am I missing here?
Nice.
Hated the movie.
I didn't hate it. It's I thought it was okay.
Yeah.
The kids I saw in my screening loved it, so
you see, I wanted it to go dark. Like, I totally was like, I'm waiting for this kid to just start murdering people and to sick his dragon on the town, and that didn't happen.
Hey, we're kind of known for not liking certain films that other people really love.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what version they saw, but the one I saw was garbage. That's French Canadian for garbage.
That'd actually be fromage. But
okay, there you go. Bill speaks French. I don't. Next one was, I saw 30 minutes of The Secret Life of Pets, then I walked out. You saw that, right?
I did. I saw the whole film.
How was it?
Not very good.
Okay.
Well, you know my rule, Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
He's enough usually to make me not see it, but it was a really big film. Thought it might be okay. Illumination, the company that makes Despicable Me and Minions. Speaking of Minions, that Minions short before the film is the worst thing I've seen this year.
Yeah.
By far.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's Human Centipede 3 bad.
It's so bad.
Oh, yeah. I hate the Minions. Yeah. Make them stop.
Yeah, they really need to go away.
But yeah, it's a completely generic film.
Yeah.
The best part in that film is in the trailer. The dogs mosh.
Okay, yeah.
To System of a Down.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the best part of the film.
Yeah, and it was in like the first 5 minutes of the film, wasn't it?
Plus, the ending is exactly the same as Finding Dory.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Damn. Lame.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Then I watched the entire thing of the BFG, and I really adore this film. Spielberg and Mark Rylance just doing their thing, man. And Mark Rylance has got this real gentleness to his approach. And, you know, it's an animated film, but they did something with, like, they did what? Like, they had to do, like, motion capture or something.
It's very Andy Serkis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's right up there with Andy Serkis as far as I'm concerned with his performance. And his performance alone was enough for me to just cry through the whole movie. And I really enjoyed it, and it was really weird, and there's some stuff toward the end of the film that really kind of didn't make me too happy about it, but
yeah,
I still enjoyed it.
You pretty much hit the nail on the head for me.
Yeah.
It's Rylance or nothing in this film for me.
Oh, totally.
I think he's amazing in it, like almost like award worthy kind of stuff. But yeah, the it gets dumb at the end.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a pretty funny scene when they meet the royal family.
Yeah.
Oh, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's I'd recommend it, but not like highly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a decent film.
Yeah.
It probably should have done better at the box office.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got a bad title.
It does. Yeah, I think maybe that was part of it.
Yeah. Man.
Just call it The Big Friendly Giant.
Yeah.
And more people see it.
Because everybody that's ever played the video game Doom knows what the fuck big fucking gun means.
Big fucking gun. There was no big fucking gun in this movie, unfortunately. So yeah, the BFG, it's not a sequel to Doom.
Damn it.
Damn it. And then I saw The Shallows, which is a movie I love. Blake Lively, of all people. I really enjoyed this movie, man. What did you think of it?
I liked it. I didn't think it was great.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I think it, even at like 90 minutes, it's a little too long.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It was just... It's just these... On paper, it shouldn't work. And I was actually not going to see it until enough of my... You know, Twitter buddies were like, I love this film. It's super cool. And then I watched it and I had a blast.
For once, film Twitter does you good.
That's right. Yeah, they were actually correct this time. And Blake Lively, she's one of those people that I tend to avoid because she's a garbage actress. But she was really good in this.
Tell us how you really feel.
Yeah.
Jesus.
So yeah, the Shallows, if you're remotely interested, if you enjoy horror, you might have a fun time with this.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah.
It looks really good too.
Oh yeah.
It's really well shot.
Yeah, it is really well shot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then I also saw Lights Out, which is just a bad, bad movie.
Skipped.
Yeah. You dodged a bullet on that one, dude. Cool concept, but just a very bad execution and, dull, just dull. Don't be boring. If you're gonna make a movie, don't make it boring. This is boring.
Nice.
Then I saw Nerve, which I kind of liked, but didn't go too crazy for it.
I think I like this a little more than you did.
Yeah, yeah.
But the ending still sucks.
Oh, stupid.
Ending is terrible. Ending.
Yeah.
But it's a fun ride getting there.
It's at times, yeah. It's just, I felt like they were just trying way too hard to appeal to the meme generation and the emoticon generation. And, you know, maybe I'm sounding like an old man here, but, you know, you want to watch a better version of this movie, watch Cheap Thrills.
I guess, but at the same time, Dave Franco was in it.
Yeah.
And we always talk about Dave Franco being in a bad film. I don't think this is a bad Dave Franco film.
Yeah.
I think Emma Roberts is fine.
Yeah, she's good.
I think it's a really fun little ride until that last 20 minutes where it just completely falls off the rails.
Yeah.
Like enough that I would like knock it down 2 stars kind of bad. But I thought it'll be great on Netflix.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd like, if I were to rate it, I'd give it somewhere between 2.5 and 3 out of 5.
I'd give it like 3.5 out of 5, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not a bad little film.
Yeah.
But yeah, just Snowpiercer it and walk out.
Yeah, that's 20 right.
20 minutes ago.
That's right. Hey, me and Kyle and Jeremy did that a few weeks ago. We were watching Snowpiercer. We're like, oh, here's where the movie gets bad. Let's turn it off and we'll make our own ending.
Nice.
So, and then what else did I watch? Oh, Tickled. Did you see Tickled?
I did.
Yeah. What did you think?
Oh, that sucked.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I kind of liked it.
Talk about a film that's all built up with absolutely no payoff.
Yeah.
The whole film
builds
up to something that they don't have.
Yeah.
And that's not cool. You can't do that.
Yeah.
It's a freaking title card.
Yeah.
With no explanation of what... There's no finality to the film.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, okay, that's an hour and a half I'll never get back.
Yeah.
I didn't even find the subject that good.
Oh, really?
No, it's...
Yeah. I was into it.
I'm like, people are just getting screwed over. Nobody seems to be doing anything about it.
Yeah.
Except for this guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, did nobody call the police?
Yeah, I don't get that.
Get a private detective to find... Do something.
And for anybody who, because this is not a really big major studio film, Tickled is about this underground sort of
fight club for
sexually confused. I don't know. But
but it felt like that.
Yeah.
It felt like this was kind of like almost like a homosexual fight club kind of thing.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. Like
men
tickling each other.
Yeah. And not just like little light tickling. They were like straddling each other and tickling each other. And they're competitive teams, and they're, you know, I have no problem saying this, they're all really good looking, like muscular dudes who are really athletic. And,
but that's the weird thing I didn't get about it.
Yeah.
They didn't sell the product.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
So yeah, I didn't get that. Like, I just didn't get the film. Yeah. I think I did.
I don't think there's anything to...
Yeah. I'm just like, this isn't very deep.
Yeah.
I saw this shit in the trailer.
Yeah.
Show me something else. And you didn't.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and they do, at one point in the movie, they do talk to a guy who is, like, tickle fetish, like, filmmaker. And he's very, like, he just tells it like it is, right?
Yeah.
And why not just make the movie about that guy? Like, I don't know. It's, yeah. But yeah, you're right. It doesn't have a finale. There's no closure. It's just, okay, it's been 90 minutes. See you later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a creepy subject.
It is. Yeah.
But give me more.
Yeah. Need something more.
Yeah.
Also, this is one we've talked about before, but I wanted to mention it because it's on Netflix now. Where to Invade Next, a Michael Moore documentary.
Oh, hell yeah. It's on Netflix?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Nice.
I think it just hit last week.
Nice.
And yeah, showed it to Sarah. She loved it. I think it's a worthwhile film. It just offers world perspective, I think. And just, you know, I think it's a movie it's a documentary where Michael Moore goes to different parts of the world, like Italy and Tunisia and France, Germany. And he, quote unquote, invades them. He wants to steal their ideas to take them back to the U.S. And these ideas are like, what's the secret to creating the smartest students in the world? Or, you know, what's the secret to healthcare? Or what's the secret to
drug addiction?
Drug addiction, yeah.
Yeah, jails.
Yeah, prison systems.
Yeah.
Police systems. And, you know, solutions, as you find out in the movie, they're not that difficult. Basically, just boils down to you just have to treat humans like you would treat... just treat them with some decency, some dignity, some respect.
And you're probably saying, but Adrian, Michael Moore is a super political documentarian.
Yeah, he is.
This film isn't.
Yeah.
It's just him being smart.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah. And he doesn't really, like, even though he's in the movie, he doesn't really jump in the way like he usually does. And he doesn't trip over himself with the message he's trying to get across. He just kind of lets the world speak for this movie and the things that maybe we should be trying over here in North America. So
that's cool. Yeah, yeah. It's really good. I had no idea it was on Netflix.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell everybody to watch it.
Yeah, check it out. That's all I have. I probably watched other stuff, but that's all I could think of.
Cool. All right. We knocked some off here.
Yeah.
This could go quicker.
Here we go.
I'm going to do this really quick and dirty. We all want to go home.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
All right. So saw the BFG already. Legend of Tarzan.
Oh, yeah. This is a cool movie.
It's a really good movie, actually.
I liked it.
This movie, I have no idea why people are hating on this film.
It gets from point A to point B. And you have fun while you're on the journey.
It's a very straightforward film. Don't understand why people aren't liking it.
Yeah.
Special effects aren't terribly great, but I thought they worked. Mm-hmm. Alex Skarsgård is Tarzan's fine. Margot Robbie's fine.
Yeah.
No idea why people aren't liking it.
Yeah.
I dug it. You guys should be writing this stuff down. Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
Carnage Park, Mickey Keating film.
Oh, how was that? I haven't seen it
yet. Just as bad as the last Mickey Keating film.
Oh, no way.
The only thing good about it, Pat Healy's in it.
Yeah.
Pat Healy's always awesome.
Cool.
But this renegade guy who trying to protect his land, so he shoots people who try to get into his land. That's the entire film.
Okay.
I obviously missed some stuff there. But Pat Healy is great.
Cool.
You want to see him in it? He's really good.
Nice.
Movie's not so much.
Okay.
Batman versus Superman Ultimate Edition.
Oh, I haven't seen this yet.
I would probably rate the original cut 2.5 to 3 out of 5.
Sure, yeah.
I would give this one a 4 out of 5.
Oh, really? Wow.
It's a really big improvement. Yeah. Everything kind of makes sense now.
Okay.
Some of it still sucks.
Yeah.
Martha.
Oh, Martha.
Yeah. It's some of it does not, you can't fix that in post, but I think it makes the film a lot better. The Blu-ray is really nice too.
Cool.
Recommend it. If you've seen the original cut, it's worth watching this.
Okay, cool.
Stuff makes sense.
Yeah.
Which I didn't think was going to happen. The new Drake Dormus film Equals with Nicholas Holt. starring as a society where emotions are taken out of the human genome, so everybody is emotionless from birth.
Oh, wow.
And they just do menial jobs. And what will happen when all of a sudden they start coming back?
Okay.
And Nicholas Hoult's character falls in love with Kristen Stewart,
mm-hmm.
and the stuff that goes on after that. It's a really, really beautiful film. Drake Dormus is underrated. It's a good film. I really liked it. Kind of sneaks up on you.
Oh, cool.
It's a very quaint film. It's not nothing striking. It's just a nice little film. Mm-hmm. Science fiction.
Cool.
Support good sci-fi.
Yeah.
It's a decent film.
Right on.
Talked about Swiss Army Man. Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates.
Ooh, how was this?
It's not a bad film.
Oh, really?
It's actually kind of funny.
Okay.
Adam Devine's really funny.
He is a good comedy actor.
Yeah, I like him. And Zac Efron's not bad either. And Anna Kendrick's having a lot of fun in this film.
Okay, cool.
Playing like completely against character.
Yeah.
It's not bad. It's better than I thought it would be. Still not great.
Cool.
Better than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
Secret Life of Pets. Already talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Just no.
Hunt for the Wilder People.
Oh, this is great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a good one. Taika Waititi, is that how I say his name?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, he's directing the next Thor movie.
That's right. Yeah.
Which is weird.
Yeah.
What We Do in the Shadows is a masterpiece.
Oh, totally.
A film that only gets better every time I watch it.
Yeah.
It's probably the funniest film I've seen in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
This one is probably like in the top five, though. I like this film.
Nice.
It's really good.
Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah. It's a really nice film.
Yeah.
I felt really good watching it.
Yeah.
I can't say a lot of films this year I haven't felt good. It's a really nice film.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a feel good movie that doesn't feel like it's manipulating you the way others do. Like, it's not playing on your nostalgia. It's not playing a really cool musical cue to replace narrative or writing. It's just damn good story with some terrific performances.
A young man and an old man getting away from the cops.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Simple story.
Yeah.
It's really good. Hunt that one down.
Oh, yeah.
Hunt.
Yeah, that's right.
Talked about Ghostbusters. 0 Days, new Alex Gibney documentary.
Oh, okay.
Is a great documentary.
Oh, sweet.
The American government tried to stop Iran from doing a nuclear program by hacking their computers. And we all know Gibney is a great, great documentarian. And just the way he tells this whole story about how the Americans started it, but other places kind of came in too and fucked it up for the Americans by changing the code.
Yeah.
And it's chilling stuff.
Wow.
Yeah. One of the best documentaries of the year.
Cool.
It's like Citizen for Good.
No way. Yeah. That's awesome.
Like, if you got a chance to see it, 0 Days.
Cool.
Alex Gibney.
Right on.
Makes like 17 documentaries a year.
Yeah.
And they're usually all really good.
He's a maniac. Yeah.
This
so
one,
good.
So good.
Right on.
I love that one. Star Trek Beyond.
Oh, yeah. I saw this.
Yeah.
Eh.
So, yeah, I'm the weird guy that's liked all the Star Trek films.
Okay, yeah.
Even Into Darkness. I like that film, too.
Oh, man. I did not like that one.
This one feels the most Trek-like of all the films. It's not one big, giant CG battle fest. They're on a planet, and they have, like, phasers and hand-to-hand combat. And I'm like, this feels like a Star Trek episode.
Yeah.
And I like the dynamic between Spock and Bones.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
A good Carl Urban performance.
Yeah.
And watchable film, man.
Yeah. I think it's for me, though, basically none of the comedy worked for me. And there's a lot of them throwing everything at the wall and seeing what sticks for comedy, and just didn't work for me. I was looking forward to it because I heard some good things, and I wasn't a big fan of the last Star Trek, but that was J.J. Abrams' like tryout reel for Star Wars. So he bastardized Star Trek, and I was excited, but
when I was in high school, I had friends who would say, you're either a Trek or a Star Wars fan. You can't be either. Like both. You have to be one.
Yeah.
And I was always like, I'm a Star Wars fan.
Oh yeah.
And I don't really like Star Trek. Mm. I never watched any of the TV shows.
Okay.
Don't really care.
Yeah.
I think that might be the reason I kind of like these films, because I'm just not a Star Trek fan.
Yeah.
They're just kind of fun movies to me.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm weird.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Our Kind of Traitor.
Okay.
A Jean Le Carré book.
Mm-hmm.
Transferred to film.
Okay.
With Ewan McGregor. Watch Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy again instead of this one.
Oh,
it's
really
boring.
Oh, no.
And not very good. I figured out everything right away and didn't like it at all.
Oh, too bad.
Skip the hell out of that one.
Yeah.
De Palma.
Oh, sweet. How is this?
It's okay.
Yeah.
Lots of people liking this one.
Yeah, that's right.
It's just a talking head documentary.
Okay.
With film clips.
Okay.
Take that as you will.
Yeah, that's right.
Interesting stuff at times.
Yeah.
But, you know, it didn't really do much for me. Kind of boring, actually.
Yeah.
Not a bad film. Watch it on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
The Bronze.
Okay, don't know.
Starring Bernadette from Big Bang Theory.
As
a gymnastics bitch.
Oh, that one, okay.
She's a complete bitch
in
this film, and I hated her.
Okay.
That's why I hated the film.
Yeah.
I didn't like her character at all.
Yeah.
She pissed me off.
Oh, too bad.
So, yeah, didn't like that film at all. Cloven Forever, or Clown Forever.
Yeah.
The sequel to Clown.
Yeah.
Or Cloven, which played at Fantastic Fest last year. Drafthouse Films has this film. Skip this one.
Oh, really?
It's not very good.
Yeah.
First film's okay.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Yeah.
It's kind of outrageous. But, yeah, skip this one. Not a very good film. Talked about Tickled. Talked about Nerve. Bad Moms.
Oh, how was it?
Better than I thought it would be.
Okay.
But it's still a 2-star film.
Oh, shit. Okay.
I like the women in it. They're quite funny. Mm-hmm. It's just not a very good it's piss poor made.
Oh, really?
Not a very good film, but Netflix it.
Okay.
Yeah, the Mila Kunis. Catherine Hahn's a really good comedic actress.
Yeah, I like her.
Yeah, and Kristen Bell's really good, too. They're all really good. It's just not a very good movie. Christina Applegate's pretty good in it, too, actually. Jason Bourne.
Ooh, how was it?
Liked this one, too.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just a straight-up action film.
Yeah.
He kicks a lot of ass.
Cool.
And it's a Paul Greengrass film.
Yeah.
So everything's handheld.
That's right.
But, I didn't mind this one at all, actually.
Yeah.
I like Bourne films.
The internet hated this movie.
Yeah, they're all I don't know. I like this one.
Yeah.
I just did.
Okay.
Cafe Society.
Oh, yeah. This one I really enjoyed.
Yeah, you like this one more than I did.
Yeah.
It's pretty standard stuff.
Yeah.
I think I've seen this film from Woody Allen about 4 times.
Probably, yeah. Yeah, I just enjoyed the dynamics and the performances. I enjoyed Stewart and even like Blake Lively. You know, that's 2 Blake Lively movies in one summer. Whoa, what's up with that? It just felt really sweet. I had a really enjoyable time with that. And I am a bit of a Woody Allen novice in that I've maybe seen 20% of his movies. So that's probably why it's pretty new to me. So I enjoyed it, though.
I kind of dislike Jesse Eisenberg.
Oh, really? Okay.
I just do. Yeah. I don't like him.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Now You See Me. 2. Not a good film.
Yeah.
ABC's of Death 2.5.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
Do you remember when we saw ABC's at Fantastic Fest?
Yeah.
And we were like, how do we rate this if we don't even like half of them?
Right.
Of the shorts.
But there were 3 amazing ones.
Yeah. Just like 2.5 has maybe 3 or 4 really good ones, and the rest suck.
Oh, too bad.
Yeah. I didn't like this one at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's too bad. It's really cheap on Vimeo, too. It's $2.99 to rent it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Talked about Suicide Squad, Captain Fantastic.
I didn't see this.
Oh, so good.
Yeah.
The film that nobody's talking about that's really great this year.
Sweet.
Viggo Mortensen should act more.
Yeah.
This film got me big time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I love this film. Nice. Super underrated. Everybody has to see it, including you, sir.
Yeah, I will.
Hopefully you do by the end of the year.
Nice.
I might be talking about that at the end of the year.
All right.
Speaking of films that I'm probably going to be talking about at the end of the year, Too Late.
Oh, yeah, you saw it.
Finally saw this
one. Sweet. What did you think, dude?
This is a fucking amazing film,
isn't
dude.
It?
Yeah. Where do I start on this one? The split narrative.
Yeah.
The greatness of John Hawks.
John Hawks, man.
Actually, everybody in the film.
Yeah.
It's weird, too, because when it first started, the dialogue is very old-timey.
It is.
And I was like, okay, this feels like a bit of a gimmick.
Yeah.
But then I kind of got used to it and kind of got used to its flow.
Yeah.
And, I really got into this film.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, dude.
It's a really great film. Yeah. I have no idea why this wasn't on your mid-year top five.
Yeah, no, that was a slip-up of mine.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was actually a couple I missed.
Yeah, I was quite blown away by it.
Yeah.
Even though I wasn't terribly into the release pattern, only showing it on 35,
yeah,
which means you played it in 10 theaters in North America.
That's right, yeah.
Which is kind of weird, but it's available on iTunes now.
That's right, yeah.
So run, don't walk.
Yeah, exactly.
Rip the shit out of this film. Own it.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, it's a great film. We talked about Pete's Dragon. Indignation.
Okay, I haven't seen this.
A young man at university... completely falling under the pressure of life, just falling apart, with a really great performance by Logan Lerman.
Okay.
But it's kind of a nothing film to me.
Mm-hmm.
He's really good.
Okay.
People don't talk about Logan Lerman enough. I'm sure you've all seen Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Right. Yeah.
He's so good in that film. I love that film. Florence Foster Jenkins.
Yeah.
It's not a bad film.
Yeah.
It's watchable.
Meryl Streep.
Yeah, it's exactly what you think it is, but it's kind of sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Featuring you watch Big Bang Theory?
No.
Do you know the guy who plays Wolowitz?
I know the guy, yeah.
Yeah, he's really good in it.
Oh, cool.
Hugh Grant's good in it. Yeah. Meryl Streep is probably going to get another Oscar nomination because nice. She acted in a movie. I expected it to be like a genetically mutated Oscar film made in a beaker.
Yeah.
But it's actually kind of watchable and not bad.
Cool.
Yeah. Kind of surprised by that one, actually. Right, it's watchable.
Nice.
Another documentary, Wiener.
Okay. How is this?
Really good.
Nice.
Anthony Weiner was a up-and-coming senator from New York who just couldn't keep it in his pants or stop texting people, sexting stuff.
Oh,
and he got caught.
Yeah.
And it completely ruined his career. And then he tried to do it again. And then he did it again got caught.
Yeah.
He was like an up-and-coming guy and it just couldn't stop. And he's looks like a pretty talented politician, but he just couldn't stop. And the documentary, you're wondering why he's letting them film it.
Yeah.
It's really interesting because they catch him doing so much stupid stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's quite good.
Huh.
I really enjoyed that one. And last but not least, this has been a bit of a marathon. Ben-Hur.
Ooh, how was this?
What a mess.
Damn.
Everything is just beige.
Oh, really?
There's no creativity on the screen.
Oh, no.
Timur Bekmambetov.
Okay.
Is that how you say his name?
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Usually he's an okay director, action-wise. Other than the chariot scene, which is pretty cool, I guess, but nowhere near the scope of greatness of the first one.
Okay.
It might be worth seeing it just for that, but I say skip the hell out of this one.
Really?
Yeah, it's like a greatest hits package of the original one, except for they forgot the hits.
Oh, no.
Yeah, didn't like this one at all.
Yeah.
Skip that.
Yeah.
And that is it. Holy crap.
Wow. That is awesome.
Talked
there you go.
Way too much today.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you made it this far, thank you for listening. This is definitely an exception to our rule. We usually stick in like the 60 to 70 minute range for our episodes, and we don't really plan that. It just works out that way.
Yeah. This has just been the catch up from hell episode.
Yeah. Yeah. I was originally thinking about cutting this up into like two or three episodes, but no, let's just do it. Long and dirty style. that's part of the reason why I have show notes and stuff is because if you only want to listen to this or that or whatever, you know, it's up to you. We record it and you listen to what you want to listen to. And big thanks to people who have checked in on us, because while we were on our hiatus, I received some messages from people too. And that was really nice to hear from people who are like, where are you guys at? What's going on? And that's, I was awesome. Like, yeah, it was a nice feeling. So thanks. Which is thanks hilarious because
my friends were complete assholes about it.
Oh, really? Yeah. Nice.
Let's take this home then.
Cool. Let's bring it home.
So yeah, upcoming.
Yeah. What's on the next episode?
August 23rd. Film I'm really looking forward to. Don't Breathe.
Oh, you're not looking forward to that?
No.
That looks awesome.
I think I've already got this film completely figured out.
Okay.
Yeah. I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah.
And I hated the Evil Dead movie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wait. Oh, is it from that scene?
Fede Alvarez, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I hated that movie, dude.
Okay, so... Okay. Yeah.
Damn.
I think I got this one already figured out. We'll see next episode.
He's not actually blind? He's a dolphin? What's going on?
Martha?
Martha? His mother's name is Martha?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hands of Stone?
I haven't heard of this.
Movie about Roberto Duran?
Okay.
Who was a boxer who fought Sugar Ray Leonard, was known for being kind of a badass, except for one fight where he said no moss, where he gave up.
Okay.
Could be interesting. Looks like a bit of an Oscar movie. Yeah, I'll see it.
Cool. Yeah.
I like boxing.
Yeah, I love boxing.
Except for when it's a Jake Gyllenhaal movie.
Hey, I enjoyed that movie.
Yeah. Mechanic Resurrection. Skipping this one. So if you want to check it out.
Is Ben Foster in it?
No.
Oh, too bad.
No, it's Statham again.
Statham.
I think he went away for a couple films and then came back, this one.
Oh, that's embarrassing.
Kind of is.
Yeah.
A film I saw 2 years ago at Fantastic Fest called In the Order of Disappearance.
Oh, yeah. This got huge buzz.
It's
man.
Great. Nice. I love this film.
Yeah.
I was wondering what it was. I didn't know when it was coming out, but yeah, find this one. It's great.
Nice.
Big recommendation. And a movie I kind of had on my radar because it got a really bad reception at Cannes 2 years ago and then just kind of disappeared. The new Gus Van Sant film, Sea of Trees.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I remember that. Yeah.
It's got Matthew McConaughey in it.
Yeah.
I thought this was never coming out. I thought they were burying it.
Yeah.
And I really want to see it.
Okay, yeah.
Lots of people said it's the worst film that's ever played at Cannes.
Wow, that bad.
Automatically have to see it.
Yeah.
Because I'm a bit of a sadist.
Yeah.
September 2nd. You ever heard of the film called The Light Between Oceans?
Oh, I've heard of it. Well, the book, you mean?
The movie.
Or the movie, yeah. Yeah, it's with Fassbender.
It's the new Derek C. in France movie.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm stoked for this one.
Yeah, Fassbender, Alicia Vikander, Rachel Weisz.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait for this one.
Yeah, it looks cool.
It's put out by Disney, though.
Oh, is it?
That's kind of weird.
Ah.
That's kind of... That weirded me out.
Yeah.
C. in France doesn't seem like that kind of guy.
Yeah. Yeah, well, his movies are so hardcore, right?
Yeah. Like, it's like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
Change it up.
Yeah.
Morgan.
Oh, what's this?
You seen a trailer for this?
No.
But like a child who is like genetically modified to be better.
Okay.
And everything kind of goes apeshit.
Oh, okay.
And the child is played by Anya Taylor-Joy from The Witch.
Oh, I think I just saw this. Wait, what's it about again? Sorry.
A girl who gets genetically mutated to be like...
Ah.
Better, stronger, faster, whatever.
Okay.
And everything kind of goes wrong because she's mutating too fast or something.
Ah, okay.
The trailer is very interesting, I guess.
Yeah.
I just want to see it because the girl from The Witch.
Yeah, she's awesome.
I think she's great.
Yeah.
And last but not least, and I'm getting the feeling it might be least, the new Kevin Smith film.
Ooh, yeah.
Yoga Hosers.
Yeah.
Yoga Hosers?
I haven't heard a good thing about this movie.
No. I know somebody who's seen it. Saw it at Sundance. Said it was absolutely terrible.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I don't know what's up with Kevin. I like Tusk.
Yeah.
Because it was weird.
Yeah.
This looks like it's just stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, it's starring his daughter and Johnny Depp's daughter.
Yeah. And they're going to fight Nazi bratwursts.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Just weird.
Stop smoking weed.
Yeah. Or something in your weed, dude.
Or stop smoking weed and going on a podcast and making up a movie.
Yeah.
It worked once, yeah. Kind of.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's going to work here.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's crazy.
That's it, man.
So that's what's coming up.
That's it.
Cool. Well, yeah, I guess we can tell people where they can find us online. You're on Twitter.
at SoundJam69, and that is it.
That's it. And I am at Adrian_Charlie. The show has a Twitter account as well. It's at @TheGreen_Screen. We're also on Facebook. Search for The Green Screen of Death. Hit like, and hey, you can become lucky number 32 person to like The Green Screen of Death on Facebook.
Yes.
I mostly just post links there when our show goes up, and maybe I'll work on getting a bigger audience there.
Meh.
Work my social media skills.
I'm fine.
Yeah, we're not really like, it's funny, like when I was watching Green Room, and you remember in the beginning where they're talking about that kid asked him, he's like, well, why no social media presence? Why aren't you guys online? And I feel kind of like, Anton Yelchin when he responds. He's just like, yeah, you kind of have to be in the moment and you have to be there to enjoy the music.
Yeah.
Because once it's over and it dies. And that's kind of how I feel like when we're like pimping our stuff, like it doesn't feel natural to me, you know?
Yeah. I don't do that very well.
Yeah. So it's just our thing. Like we're not in this to go viral.
I hope people enjoy the show.
Yeah. We're happy if 20 people listen.
Yeah.
And a few more than that listen, and we're thrilled with that. So
this has been the longest episode ever, except for the first episode.
Except for the first episode, which do not listen to.
No, and my voice hurts just as bad as the first episode. My voice is fucking killing me right now.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm pretty tired. I had a long, long day. And yeah, thanks again.
Fucking Adrian watched 5 hours of wrestling earlier.
Oh man, yeah, that was a mistake. I should not have done that. Way too much wrestling, and I was pissed off at the end. Nice. If you watch SummerSlam, I don't know. I was not happy. Nice. Anyway, yeah, I guess we could wrap it up. And yeah, thanks again for the people who asked us, hey, where you been? And thanks to our other listeners who are listening and. We see the numbers and we're happy, and we're going to keep trucking, man. All right. So until next time, we'll talk to you later.
Peace.